Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And as I was thinking about coming this way, I always try to pray and get the mind of the Lord. And the Lord laid this thought upon my heart, if I were to be asked to preach. And of course, I hoped to be able to hear Brother Stewart this morning. But out of respect and honor to him, I know he's going to preach tonight, and he asked me this morning. So I'll stand and do my best for the Lord. You pray for me for a little while, because if the preacher don't show up, I won't do nothing. It takes him, and I pray that you'll pray for me and lift me up before the Lord. We're going to begin reading in verse number 15 this morning, 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you have your Bibles in that place, would you stand with me? If you're physically able, out of respect and honor to the Word of God, and we'll read these verses of Scripture, and we'll have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." I'm thankful for the word of God, aren't you? "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I do want to thank you this morning for the privilege to stand here in this great church. And before these people, Lord, I stand realizing that I cannot stand here alone. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would touch this vessel of clay, that I would be sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and that, Lord, you would help the man of God today as well as your people. I want to encourage him, and I want to encourage these folk. And Lord, you know our desires this morning. You know our heart. And Lord, you see every intent, every motive. And I pray that I would be cleansed, Lord, of all that's wrong. And help me to be a light shining for thee today. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. There's not a lot mentioned about holiness anymore in our pulpits. There's not a lot being said about walking a holy life and living a holy life. Now, I'm speaking of in general, because I do know that there's churches sprinkled across our country that are still standing for the old-time way and still walking the kind of way that they should walk. And I know your pastor, and I understand him and realize, and I know his heart, and I do know that he'll preach the truth. And you have a wonderful pastor, someone that you can follow, and he loves his flock. But let me say to you this morning that we always need to be reminded of the Word of God and what God's Word says, how we should conduct ourselves as we walk in this world. And I want to preach on a subject this morning entitled Called to be Holy. Called to be holy. Now the word in our text, holy, means to be sacred or physically pure, morally blameless or religious, and we're to be consecrated. That's what this word holy means. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2, Paul is writing to a carnal church. Everyone that's Bible read knows that this Corinthian church is probably the most carnal church that Paul has to deal with. And he's dealing with this church, and he says these words, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." Notice that Paul, writing to this carnal church, says that those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified is a close word to that word holy that we read over there a while ago, but it's a different word, and it means to be ceremonially made holy. And when God saved you and He saved me, there's something He done for us, because when He saved us, He imparted unto us the Holy Ghost, and He dwells in our life. We know that the Holy Ghost cannot dwell where unholiness is. And so God had to ceremonially sanctify us. He sanctified us so that the Holy Ghost could move in and take up His abode in us. And then, Paul says, called to be saints. Did you know that not everyone that's a Christian is a saint? You say, well, what do you mean? There are some folks that are saved, but they're just not where God wants them right yet. You know, we expect some folks to be saved and automatically live in the way they should live, walk the way they should walk, and everything be proper and right and all of those things. But God works on us. Now, this word holy that we read in our text in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 15 and 16, that word holy is physical. It is on the outside. God wants us to purify ourselves. We're involved in that. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, you know the scripture there where Paul is talking to Timothy and says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier." And he goes on down and he says, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth and of these things." And he said, "But if a man purge himself from these, he shall be sanctified and meet for the master's use." God wants to use us and use us in His work, but we first have to be set apart. We have to be holy in His work. And so we're called to be holy. God wants you to be like Him. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, when we hear those words, we automatically say, well, we can't do that because we're in this flesh. And our Bible says here, "For all flesh is as grass." And we know that we're passing from this life. We're born to die. We're going out of this world. I know some folks are looking for the fountain of youth and they're looking for trying to find the place where they can be younger. But the thing is, if you're not going to die old, you've got to die young. We're all getting older. There was a day, and I saw a picture yesterday. My son pulled it out, my daughter-in-law pulled it out and showed us a picture of our son when he was just real little, and I looked at myself and I had black hair. And I'm glad it didn't turn loose. It just turned gray. But we're going toward the graveyard in this body. And so God wants you and I to be holy, for He is holy. Now, what does He mean when He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy"? Some will say, well, He doesn't really mean, but what does He say? He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So God has called each and every one of us that are saved by grace, that are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. God has sanctified you so the Holy Ghost can dwell in you. He wants the Holy Ghost to be able to come out and work with you and through you to touch others so that they can see their need of a Savior. Now, He says, "Let your light so shine." It doesn't say make it shine. Let it shine. You are the light of the world. And we are to let our light so shine before the world that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Now, understand that we're not saved by our works. We're saved eternally. I'm just as saved right now as I'm ever going to be, other than I'll be getting a new body. And then I'll be perfect all the way around. But right now, I'm dwelling in this old fleshly body that is going back to the dust from whence it came, but I am to mortify the deeds of this body. I'm to lay some things down for God so that God can use me as He sees fit to reach others for His glory and for His honor. So let me give you a few thoughts here, and I'm going to be through. First of all, I want to say that we're to have a holy walk. Now, when I say a walk, I mean this. I mean that we're to have a certain kind of a behavior before the world. In verses number 15 and 16 of our text, look at it with me again if you will. He says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." You see that word conversation? When we see that word conversation, we automatically think of our English terms, and conversation must mean to have language, but we speak more languages than we're just with our lips. That word conversation actually means behavior or conduct, if you will. How do we react in times of stress and in times of sudden things that come upon us and we're shocked and we don't we weren't prepared for it? When you're prepared for something, you can act a whole lot differently than you can with something that surprises you. And sometimes we do not react the way that we should before the world, that they may see God in us. What I'm trying to say is our conduct, our walk before the world should be in such a manner that they would not actually see us, but that they would see Christ in us. We're to have a holy walk. Now, someone might say, "Well, I thought that was for the preacher." Yes, you're right. It's for the preacher. If we're going to preach, we better walk and live how we preach, right? I mean, we might as well close our Bibles and go home if we're not going to live the way we say to live. It's a sad thing in my heart, and I do not take any relish or relish any glory out of hearing the news of preachers that have walked away from their ministries and fallen into sin. That breaks my heart. Some men that I have loved and adored and I appreciated have done that very thing. But may I say to all of us, it's not just the preacher, it's the Christian in the pew. Somebody is looking at your life. Your life is preaching to somebody else. The way you're living, the way you're conducting yourself, your behavior in the world is showing somebody else either Christ that is in you, or they're seeing your flesh. They're seeing who you are. We talk about light, and thank God for lights. Talking about last week not having any lights, we forget about these lights. But if it weren't for these things on the ceiling, we wouldn't be seeing very good. But they're not here for us to look at them, huh? You know when they're not there, but they're not to look at. They're so that we may see what we need to see. And that's what you and I are as children of God. We're to be light for Him. And we're not to draw attention to ourselves, but we're to shine the light so that others can see what they need to see and see that they need a Savior. I'm talking about a holy walk with the Lord. Our actions will show either our littleness in the Lord or our greatness in the Lord when things suddenly come upon us. Our activities will show it. Now, listen to me, folks. There's just some places I cannot go as a child of God. My activities have changed. My affiliations have changed. I can't walk with those friends that I used to walk with when I was a sinner. I can't go the places I used to go when I was a sinner. I have changed. My life has changed. The Holy Ghost in me is changing me and making me what I should be for the glory of God. Not so that I could be gloried in, but so that God could be glorified.
Now notice verse number 17. He said, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. You see, God is going to judge our work. We're not saved by our works, but we're certainly judged by them. And so we need to get back to living holy lives. Holiness is real. Holiness is something that we need to get a hold of in our hearts and understand that God has sanctified us so the Holy Ghost can live in us, but He wants us to sanctify our outside so that the world can see God in us. So we need to have a holy walk. How many will agree with me this morning that we have a holy work? That our work is holy. Can I say to you this morning that this is the most important thing that's going on planet Earth this morning is the work of God. It's not our labor in the world. It's not our labor for ourselves to bring home the paycheck. Those are not the most important thing. The most important thing is our work for the Lord. And by the way, every child of God that's been saved by grace has a work for the Lord. God wants you to get in your spot and be faithful to do what you're supposed to do for Him. From the least all the way to the greatest. Someone says, well, I want to have that position, or I want that other position. It seems more glamorous. Well, a person that wants somebody else's position because it seems more glamorous, I have a fear, is not where they need to be with God. Somebody says, well, I want to be the big chief. Well, Jesus said that those that be chiefest among him, let him be your servant. So if you want to be chief, you be the servant. You be the one that will sit in the background and not have to be out in the forefront. Not have to be the one to be noticed or seen. You say, well, I want to be a big nail. Well, if you look around this building this morning, you won't see any nails. And the bigger nails is what's in the framework that holds the building up. The smaller nails is what's holding up the trim and the pieces that make it pretty. And all we are is just what God has made us to be. And we're to work in the vineyard. We're to work in the field. We're to be a branch connected to the vine so that we can bring forth fruit. Our work is holy. What I'm trying to say is if we're going to work the work that God wants us to work, we're going to have to be holy because our work is holy. And He says, be ye fruitful. We're to bring forth fruit. In John chapter number 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. He goes on down to say, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you may bring forth fruit. He wants us to bring forth fruit for His glory. Now every branch that abideth not in the vine becomes dead. Is that right? And we're to abide in the vine. That means to dwell. That means to live. We're to dwell in the vine. We get our power not from our voices or from our physical ability, but we get our power from the vine. He said, I am the true vine. And Jesus Christ is that power. He is the one. And it's His word that brings forth the fruit that needs to be brought. And so we're to dwell in the vine. Our work is holy, so we need to be holy for our holy work. Now, when you begin to preach on holiness, folks will begin to label you as preaching perfection. Or, you know, they'll begin to label you as someone that is trying to, you know, get over to that place where you're so sanctified you don't never sin. Well, I got enough sense to know that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. I realize as long as we're in this body, we're going to have things wrong with it. But what I am saying is if we'll do our part, God will do His part and He'll bless our work and we'll see fruit for our labor because our work is holy. Not only do we need a holy walk and our walk is our holy, our work is holy, but we need to be a holy witness. A holy witness. Now, someone is watching your life this morning. Someone, a neighbor maybe, watched you as you got in your vehicle dressed and they knew where you were headed this morning. They probably aren't going to church, but they were watching to see that you were. And when you got yourself dressed and you went in and got in your car and you backed out of your driveway and you pulled off and headed toward church, you were a witness for the Lord. And may I say to you, if we want to be a witness where we are, we need to be holy because He is holy. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, we all know this verse of Scripture. Jesus talking to His disciples before He ascends back to heaven, He says, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." But He said, and the reason you're going to receive that power is because you're going to be witnesses unto Me. You're going to be witnesses unto Me. God wants you to be a witness. He didn't save you to set you on the sidelines. He didn't save you to make you a better person. He saved you so that you will be a witness for His glory. He wants to receive the glory. He wants to receive the honor. And when we come to the house of God, there shouldn't have to be a preacher come around and shake our hands and pat our back and say, "Boy, I'm so glad you're here." We ought to just be glad enough that God had mercy upon us and saved us by His grace and kept us out of hell so that we could be His servant, that we'd be glad to come to the house of the Lord. I'm saying this morning that we're a witness for Him. You say, "Well, how are we a witness?" Well, we're a witness in our dress. We don't dress like the world. Have you ever noticed that it's nowadays, it's, you know, used to be you had to get on the women a little bit for dressing provocative. Nowadays, the boys are doing the same thing. I preached in our church not long ago something along this line, and I said, "You know, you young ladies that are looking for a man to marry, you find one that can pull his britches up. These fellas walking around, their breeches hanging down between their knees. I don't want to see that garbage. I don't want to see all that mess." You see, we're to dress proper. We're to dress modestly. And listen to me, women can dress in such a manner that'll get the eyes of the men, and men can dress in such a manner to get the eyes of the women. It's called lust. And we need to dress right. By the way, ladies, if you don't think your body's on the market, why don't you cover it up so it won't be on the market? Dresses are getting shorter this way and shorter that way. And you can dress some people with a canary, like a canary with some clothes that some women have on. I'm saying we need to dress right. You say, "Well, you're meddling in my business now." No, I'm saying we're to be holy for He is holy. And when you find the demonic Gadarene demoniac sitting at the feet of Jesus when he got saved, he was clothed and in his right mind. Anywhere you see them taking their clothes off in the Bible, they're demon possessed. And so he was clothed in his right mind. Listen, men, listen to me. We need to dress right. We need to dress proper. Ladies, we need to dress right. We need to dress proper. You say, "Well, I'm not going to mess around with somebody who tries to tell me how to dress." Look, the Holy Bible tells us how to dress. And by the way, everything about what we have is holy. We have a holy Bible. We have a Holy Ghost. We have a holy Savior. He's pure. He's sinless. He knew no sin, yet He became sin for us. And so we ought to dress the way God would want us to dress. We, you know, not only our dress, but in our desires. You know, I have a problem with folks that don't have a desire to go to church. I have people tell me all the time, "I can live just as close to the Lord at home as I can at church." Well, now that's odd, because the Bible says that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And if anybody loves God, they're going to love the church. Is that not right? They're going to love the church because God loved the church. And by the way, I like being in church because that's where I get my help. You folks are a strength to me. And I thank you people for putting forth the effort and sacrificing the money every year so that we can come from the north and from the south and from the east and the west and come here and get our batteries recharged. Because of people like you, we get help. We need one another. And someone that thinks they can live as close to God as at home as they can at church, they're wrong, and sooner or later they'll be all the way out in thinking they're right. Our desires are different when we're a Christian, when we're a saint of God. You see, not only is it our dress, but our desires are different. I desire to be in the house of God. I desire to be where God's people dwell. Now, I've been in some places where I couldn't wait to get out. You know, those churches that are frozen, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, I say a lot are frozen. There's some churches that are deader than 4 o'clock and drier than cracker juice. And it's just amazing to me how people can go and go and go and not ever seem like the Spirit of God never move in. But we're told that that's going to happen. Book of Revelation talks about the Laodicean church age, and they're going to think they don't need anything. Listen, we need God, don't we? We need Him supremely. And so our desires change when we're a child of God. Not only in our dress and in our desires should we be holy, but in our dealings. If you're here this morning, you're a business person, you know what you need to do is be holy in your dealings. If you're here this morning and you're a merchant or you're a customer, whatever you are, or you work on a job, you need to be holy in your dealings. Walk as Christ walked. There's all kinds of outline in the Scriptures for masters, for servants, for the poor, for the rich. We're all to be right in our dealings. Don't tell someone something that you can't fulfill. Your word is, and used to be, you could go into a bank and you could shake their hand, never had to put anything on paper, but just because of a shake of a hand, and your word, it was your contract. But how many's tried to get a loan lately? You got to sign a stack of papers that are an inch thick to get anything. And why is that? It's because people haven't been honest and holy in their dealings. And the sad thing is, it's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that have caused it. I remember when I was a boy, my dad walked into the bank and I walked in with him. And he met the president of the bank and he said, I need to borrow some money. President said to the bank, he said, how much do you need, preacher? And my dad said, I need this much money. I can't remember the amount. But the bank president stuck his hand out and said, okay, you've got it, and shook his hand. And he walked out with the money. Didn't have to sign anything. It was because people's word meant something back then in those days. But now our dealings are unholy. We'll tell people anything just to get a hook on them. Can I say to you, we're different than that. You and I are to be holy people, and we're to be holy in our dealings. I'm talking about being a witness now for God. Being a witness. Last of all, and I'm through, not only do we have a holy walk, need a holy walk, and we have a holy work, and we're to be a holy witness, but when we come into a place like this, we're to have a holy worship. In Psalms chapter number 29 and verse number 2, the Bible says, give unto the Lord glory, do unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, when God sees His people worshiping Him and they live in holy lives, to Him there's nothing more beautiful, brother preacher. You know that over there in Revelation where it says that the city coming down from God out of heaven is a bride adorned for her husband, when He looks at the church, He sees something of beauty. He sees a beautiful church. And I'm glad I'm part of the church. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. But when we come together in the Lord's house, we're to lift up our hands. We don't lift them up like this because we've already got everything we can get. We lift them up like this. Well, you say, what's the difference? Well, those that lift them up like this are waiting for something. We've already got it. Amen. We've got it. So we lift our hands up we lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and we worship the one that has given us everything. They sang the song, so much to thank Him for. So much. I have so much to thank Him for. We've had a tough year this year. Our family has been hit from every side, seems like. But we can still lift our hands and with joy in our heart, we can say, thank you, God. We have been blessed beyond all measure. And we can come to God's house and worship Him in spirit and in truth because He's been better to us than we deserve. I'm glad this morning I've been saved by grace. But can I tell you this morning that more and more, the older I get, the more sensitive I get about walking holy before the Lord. Brother Mark, I don't want to leave this life a wreck or a shipwreck. I'm not talking about losing my salvation. I'm talking about losing influence, losing the ability to do what God has called me to do. I want to be faithful all the way to the end. I want to make sure I start right, but you better make sure you finish right as well. I mean, thank God for a God in heaven that gives us the tools we need to live right. A sinner will say, well, I'm not going to do that because I can't live it. You're absolutely right. There's no way that we can live the way this Bible teaches us to live unless we're saved. And the one that's alive and well is living on the inside. And listen to me this morning. I said at the beginning of the message that there are some folks that are saved that are not saints. They're saved, and God has ruled them sanctified. The Holy Ghost dwells on the inside, but they refuse to go any farther with God. They're stunted in their growth. God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be a vessel unto honor and meet for the Master's use. How many this morning raise your hand and say, preacher, I want to do everything God wants me to do and I want to be useful for Him? Raise your hand. Hands all over the building went up. I want to be useful to the Lord. Can I say to you, the closer we get to Him, the more we do for Him and purging ourselves from all the sins of the world. See, we're to lay aside the weights even. There are some things that maybe not sin but are just a weight to us, and we need to lay them aside so that God can use us. And out of these doors of this building is a mission field that is white and ready to harvest. And the laborers are few. There's a good crowd of people here this morning. What a difference just this crowd of people can make in so many other lives if we would just be holy. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know your heart this morning, but my dear friend, if you want to be used by God, God can use you. But you're going to have to put forth some effort yourself. You're going to have to lay some things aside for His glory. Not because the preacher said so, but because the Word of God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. As they play this morning, as the song leader gets a song of invitation, would you just make your way to an altar of prayer? Maybe you're here and lost. You've never been saved. And you'd like to come this morning and give your heart to the Lord. Let Him come into your life and save you by His grace. Would you just come forward? This old-fashioned altar prayer, you can get some help as they sing.